Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's one provided under one of the chairs near you, in front of you. And you can get a Bible and follow along today. It'd be very, very important to do that. And by way of introduction, if you'll follow along as I read your study sheet, we'll go ahead and begin today. The Galatian churches have been bewitched. That's the word found in this epistle, the word Paul used. They've been bewitched by false brethren teaching the worst form of legalism, the claim that works of the Old Testament law can justify man before a holy God, making him a complete Christian. One of the great tragedies of this lie is that the opposite is true. Its followers are led to believe that they are moving closer to maturity when in reality they are stepping backward into childhood. Not only that, but the joy a believer receives when serving the Lord by faith is robbed, you're ripped off by promoting the power instead, by promoting the power of self-will and human effort. That's just terrible. And to counter this mess, and it is a mess, that false teaching, the apostle turns his doctrinal argument to a household theme, highlighting the fact that through Christ's redemptive work, because of what Jesus Christ did for us, we're now adopted as sons into the family of God as an heir. Isn't that something? That's really something. The theme of this passage really would be there's a change going on. There's a change that happened. A change of order. The title of today's message is Redeemed as an Adopted Son and Heir of God. The alliterations came to an end. I could not do it any longer. Our text for today is Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. A very incredible illustration that he gives, and I'll try to give the sense of it today. So let's go ahead and you follow along as I read. Verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then the heir of God through Christ. Let's pray. Father, the passages found in these two chapters tucked in the middle of this book really are the center of everything in our life as believers. Sometimes not easy to understand these things, so I pray, Lord, that you'd give me the ability to do that I'd be out of the way, that you'd take control of this pulpit today, and that you'd open up our eyes to the beauty and the power of these truths that are found in these simple verses. I pray, Father, that through our study today, maybe there's somebody in here that has thought they were Christians but aren't. Maybe there's somebody in here that thought you have to be good, a good boy or girl, to be saved. I pray their eyes would be open today. I pray that there'd be genuine conversions in this room today, Lord, to your glory, not to ours, to yours. pray that as a result, believers would draw closer to you as their Papa. Hearing these things today and being reminded of the love that we share with one another. So we love you, Father, and we trust this time and place it into your hands. We ask that your word would have free course and be magnified in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, in this last section of this last chapter, and we bit off quite a bit last week, we studied chapter 3, verses 15 through 29. Back there, we saw that the law was like a schoolmaster or a teacher. Do you guys remember that, those of you that were here last week? All right, I need your help today. Right? All right, this is a team effort here today. All right, so we were told the law was like a schoolmaster, a teacher who taught us every day that we were sinners. And that it was also likened, in a very indirect way, to a policeman who has surrounded us, the law, who surrounded us and captured us, taking us to jail and locking us up. I think the term in there is saying shut up. It says we were shut up or we were locked up by the law. It had surrounded us. We needed to be set free. And we were set free by Jesus. Now today we're going to see that the law is likened unto a servant, which is also likened to a tutor or a governor who is in charge of a child. And I want you to keep this in mind. This is very, very, very important. When Paul is writing this letter, he's writing to a whole bunch of churches that are in a region, like a state almost. Galatia was not a city, but a region. And there would be a plethora of churches there. And so he wrote this letter to all these churches. And just like in any church, you're going to have people that are lost and people that are saved in churches, right? And in this case, in this region, in this area, there were a lot of synagogues and a lot of Jews that were dispersed and in these areas. So not only is he writing to lost and saved, but he's writing to Jews and Gentiles both. And so he writes this letter, and he does this with his other letters, and you have to be very keenly aware of this. He speaks in a way that touches his entire audience. And it's not always easy to clarify these things because he's speaking, he's like taking a big swath and saying some things to a whole lot of different mindsets and people. So don't forget that. That's important as we're studying, especially when we're in very doctrinal chapters like Galatians chapters 3 and 4. So you guys got that? All right, we're all on the same page? All right, so let's go ahead and start with these things in mind. And we'll begin with really what is a Holy Ghost-inspired illustration. Very simple household illustration. And let's begin in point number one. Who we were before we came to know Christ as our personal Savior. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now, we always want to make it more simpler than more complex. That's actually very, very clear. And first, we see here from Paul's household illustration that when we were lost, we were no better than the lowest person on earth at that time in pecking order, which was a servant. And that should come as no surprise if you know your Bible, right? It doesn't come as any surprise. It clearly says in Romans chapter 3, and I printed out the verses right here for you, we're all equal on this issue. As it is written, there's how many? None righteous. No, not one. Well, what about no, not one? There's, say it, none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Servants are the lowest in the human pecking order, especially at this time in history. And what's interesting is, if you think about it, and you think about this illustration he's giving, before we knew Christ, we were even lower than the servant because we were servants to sin. Look at verse 2 again. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Before we received Christ as our personal Savior, we were under them. We were under the law, which is illustrated by a servant or a tutor and a governor. Before Christ came to this earth, every Jew was a servant to the law, and we were all like children under the authority of a tutor or a governor, which was the Old Testament law in a condensed form. Today, I think most people would say, use as an illustration, the Ten Commandments, right? But it would include all of the law, but generally we use the Ten Commandments as a short illustration. So here's the thought. In the Hebrew economy, the servant, as a tutor or a governor, was in complete charge of the child of the household in which he worked. He was in complete charge of that child, working for his master. The master's child was under his authority. So that would make us lower than the servant. You guys understand? We would have been under his authority until he was of full age. And if you think of the illustration we studied a couple weeks back, Eliezer was in charge of Abraham's son Isaac until he was of full age. Although Isaac was heir and lord of everything, he was going to inherit and be the lord of everything on all of Abraham's wealth one day. And yet he was under a tutor. He was under. Now think about this. No matter how rich a father is, no matter how powerful a father is, his infant or toddler son cannot enjoy his father's wealth, right? He can't do that. And that's the illustration that he's giving here. So get this. When we were lost, we were actually lower than the lowest person on earth at that time in history, a servant, which here is a type, a servant or a tutor and a governor, which is a type of the law, so we were under it. It was our master. You see, as a result, when we were under this law, we were also in bondage. In bondage under the elements of the world. Look in verse 3. He's using this example. You know how it is with a kid. And they all got this back then. It requires some explanation to us. But you know how it is. A child's no different than the servant. As a matter of fact, he's under the servant until he becomes a full age. Until the father says, okay, my son's old enough now, he doesn't have to follow these same rules. Even so we, verse 3, when we were children, were in what? Bondage under the elements, of the world. Bondage is and was the spiritual condition of both Jew and Gentiles before Christ. Think about this. Before Jesus Christ came historically as a Jew born in Bethlehem, we sung about it this morning, the nation of Israel was operating and in bondage to the Old Testament law. Right? Now make a personal application. He's talking to all this audience, to this big audience here. Make a personal application. Before Christ came into your heart by faith, you were in bondage. But you are in bondage to the elements of this world. Hold your place here and just turn over just a few books. You got to your right, you got Ephesians. Hold your place here in Galatians, Philippians, and then Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. I want you to see this. It's the great warning. And by the way, anytime you see this word show up in the Bible, you want to perk up. It'd be a good idea to memorize this verse. Verse 8, what's the first word it starts out with? Beware. Now, if you see a sign today that says beware, don't you pay close attention to what it says? Beware of dog. Beware of falling debris. Whatever. Beware of rock slides. But you're paying attention, right? Beware. So anytime you come upon that word in the Bible, you want to make sure you're paying close attention. It says, beware lest any man spoil you or rob you or rip you off through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after, now here it is, the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Here we are warned in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 about the rudiments of the world. And these are the standard operating procedures that no matter where you go on planet Earth, no matter what culture, and you can be in a culture that don't speak your language, there's certain things that are common to all of us that we all get, right? Certain things. And in this context, it's certain things that concern philosophies and traditions that people have. But here back in Galatians, turn back there, this elements of the world, it's different. It's not based on the standard operating procedures that are found in any culture on planet Earth that are based on their traditions or philosophies. Some of them we have in common, some we don't. But these are different. These are elemental rules. These are fundamental rules and regulations that are operating around us. So think about this. Before you were saved, you were in bondage to certain elemental rules, certain fundamental rules, not based on philosophy or traditions, but based on them as a child is bound to obey certain rules. Now think about this. You can do this, but you cannot do that. You're talking to a child. Now, these are your chores. We're going to make them, write them down on a list. I'll show you how to do them. Oh, and they didn't do them correctly. You know, in our house, we'd have a list of chores. And we were not tyrants. Our kids thought we were when they were young. But we were not tyrants. If they did their chores with a bad attitude, that is not acceptable. But it wasn't acceptable in your house either, was it, Andrew? Well, we punished our children, rightly, not overly, not strangely or crazy. But we punished them if they did their chores and they didn't do them right. They were under these operating household rules, correct? So we all get this. This is really simple, isn't it? Don't touch that. The younger they were, don't put that in your mouth. No, do not put that in your mouth. Or eat all of your vegetables if you want your cake. Right? Or according to the famous song, you can't, unless you eat them, you can't have your pudding. Sorry. Listen, don't dare go in there. It's time for your nap. Oh, some of our kids, they'd just be like, all right. And then others, Sam, I don't want to take a nap. Rachel, I don't want to take a nap. Valerie would be like, okay. It's time for your bath. Yeah, what kid is going to take a bath? I mean, there'd be some exceptions. But what kid is going to take a bath unless you what? Tell them! These are the elements, these are the elemental rules of the world that kids are under. It's time for bed. It's time to get up. I mean, being a parent's exhausting, isn't it? Why? Because you got to make sure you got to take care of everything. You got rules for everything. Correct? Is this hard to understand? You got rules for everything. These are the elements of the world that when we were children, we were in bondage to. And we were like, come on, isn't this how it was? I can't wait. I remember thinking from like the time I was eight or nine, I can't wait until I'm 18. And I can do my own thing. and I'll be free, free, free at last. No more rules. Surprise. Yikes. There's more rules. I have more tutors and governors now. Oh, man. But when you were a kid, I mean, it was everything. Every element, every aspect, every element of your life was judged by a rule. Right? That's what he's talking about. See, the false teachers in Galatia were saying that this pious life of obedience under the law would make you a better person and actually cause you to earn favor with God. Hey, listen, all the rules my kids didn't cause them to earn favor with me. Got them into trouble. Whew. I might have been pleased when they obeyed, but that's what they're supposed to do. Right? Listen, Paul says to these false teachers, nonsense. These childish elements are for children, not adults. And these things ended, all these rules ended at the appointed time of the Father. That makes sense. As my kids grew up, the rules changed. Right? And Valerie, as she's my oldest, as she grew up, then Sam and Rach were like, why does she get to do that? Because she's older. And we had to work them through that. When you get older, you'll be able to do these things. It won't be, these same rules won't apply. These same household rules will change. And my wife was part of this decision, but at the time appointed of the Father. It's not hard to understand, is it? It's exactly what's going on here. All these rules that you had to obey when you were a kid, they just proved something. Do you know what all these rules... Can you imagine if I tried to apply rules like that to my wife? Whew. You know what I'd be doing? Buying, like, furniture that would fit into my shed out back. It doesn't apply to an adult. I mean, look, we all have rules that we follow to care for each other. He's not talking about that. He's using the illustration of a child. And listen, all these rules that you had to obey when you were a kid just proved something. It proved you were immature, and it proved that you were not grown up. Now listen, they maintained order in your life, to be sure, just like the Old Testament law did for the Jew. But they didn't make you a more valuable child. I still love my kids no matter when they obeyed or when they didn't. You know? I mean, strange stuff. Valerie, running around. I'd be on the other side of the table. I mean, she was a slippery thing. Rachel. Now listen. Listen. We can work this out. We can just work this out. Can't we just talk this through, please? And Samuel was like, where do I go? I'll bend over right here. Let's just get this over with. But it didn't earn them any... They weren't any more valuable to me, even though they all operated differently. Listen, the Apostle Paul is stating very clearly by this household, this childlike example, a child is bound to obey basic elemental rules. Therefore, by going back to the law, you're not advancing forward. This isn't some... We didn't teach you this garbage, this trash. Now they're trying to take you back. You're not going forward. They're not saying... They were saying this is... he got it all wrong. Paul got it all wrong, as we'll see that people were saying as we move on through the rest of this chapter in the weeks ahead. Paul got it all wrong. You need to add this to make it better. And Paul's simply saying, hey, you remember when you were a kid? It's the same kind of thing. You're going back, not forward. Leave it behind. Listen, You're going back to the old. You're not advancing. This is not an advanced.
Like, what do you... I know you're married and you don't live here anymore, but can I give you... When I want to give them something, I got the best kids. They always say no. And my wife is like, you don't say no when your dad wants to give you money. You say yes.
Tommy's over here going, yes, Valerie, if your dad wants to give you money, say yes. Her husband, my son-in-law. Good move. Rachel and Sam, they call me, they've called me many things over the years. Good things. No, good things. Affectionate things. But they tend to call me Pop when they're happy with me. Okay, Pop. All right, Pop. So I know when they don't use that term, whatever. But when they use that term, it's affectionate. But here's something I don't want you to miss. I mean, you want to think about this. It's much more than that here in this passage. Much more. The word Abba, again, you'll have to think about this, but it's recorded as a foreign word. It's not a transliteration, or it's not a word brought from one language to another. It's a literally foreign word that's stuck in there that we haven't adopted into English unless you have that heritage. Do you know what it is? By it being recorded here, it tells us something very, very valuable. It's the cry of a child who's been adopted into a brand new family. A family that speaks another language. A family that's markedly different than where the child came from in the past. And they have a whole new life ahead of them. That's what that indicates. It indicates things have changed. You see, folks, obedience to the law can't do this. Only Jesus Christ can change us from the inside out and transform our entire identity and bring us from where we were into a whole new family. Only Jesus can do that. It's a beautiful picture of adoption. Those parents that are in this room today that have adopted a child, it's a beautiful picture of that. Praise the Lord. And as we see in our last verse today, the Heavenly Father has given us the most valuable and precious things, things that the law could never give. You see, church, when you prayed to personally receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became an heir of God through Christ. Look in verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Wow. All the inheritance God has for His Son belongs to you. This is not some chintzy bequest. It's the very best God has to offer you. Listen, I brought this, and maybe this is a corny illustration. But I have this hanging in my room, and I look at it in my office, and I look at it every time I'm in there. Now, I've been going to the Philippines for about 25, 26 years. I've been there 30 sometimes. Some years I've gone there twice. Some years, three times. I've spent a lot of time with the Filipinos, and especially with Pastor Barbasso, who happens to be the dean of an accredited Bible college in the Philippines. And on my last trip there, they gave me something. I didn't earn it. I didn't go to school to get it. But I was given a doctorate. So don't you forget, that I am Dr. Tom. Okay? An accredited Bible college actually gave me a doctorate for serving them and helping them. But that's not what I think of when I look at it. Those Filipinos, I love them. And maybe they're going to listen to this. And so I don't mean this disrespectfully. But let me ask you seriously, what are they going to give me that I can't just go buy? What are they going to give me? Any one of us makes more money in a week than they do in a year. What are they going to give me that I can't go out and buy something better? They gave me a gift that nobody else could give me. They bestowed an honor upon me that I couldn't get somewhere else. So this, it isn't the doctorate. I don't even use the title unless it's to my benefit. Or yours. I consider this a great blessing. Because they gave me the very best that they could give me. And compared to the Lord, it's nothing. See, God didn't give you something that you could get anywhere else. He gave you something that the law could never give you. He made you an heir. So if you're saved today, Jesus Christ is yours. And you're a joint heir with Him. And so that makes Jesus Christ our treasure and our great reward. We've been given the very best the Father has to offer. He gave us the Spirit of His Son. And the law can't give that, folks. That's a gift from the Father. And we're an heir of God through Christ. And as an heir, we also have, and I listed these out. Please look at them. And these are just some things. We have permanent, now you understand, permanent access, as we read in Hebrews, to our loving Father. If you're saved, no matter what, no matter what you've done, or no matter how you feel, or on maybe one particular day, you're thinking about how unfaithful you are. But listen, it's not about that, it's about how faithful He is. Look, we need to be faithful to Him. Of course we do. Just like we should be faithful to our spouse, right? Just like we should be faithful to each other in our service and our love and care. But look, maybe you're having a day like that and you're thinking about that. Just remember, you have permanent access to Him because you belong to Him and He loves you. Permanent access. There's a picture that I had in my mind that is about, it's a picture, it's a great illustration. You'll recognize the picture when we put it up on the screen. It shows the access of a child to his very powerful father. Bink, you know that picture? Huh? Yeah. I like that. Thank you. That's what God's revealing to us through this passage of Scripture. And the law can't do that. We're sons. We're adopted sons and heirs. We also have a good Father who'll never leave us and never forsake us. He'll always be ours and we'll always be His. What a blessing that is. We have the ability to follow our Father out of love. Out of love. A servant earning his way by human works follows out of fear. We follow out of love. Listen, listen, listen. Eternal security ensures that our relationship between each other is not in my hands or I'd mess it up. It's in His. Eternal security ensures that our relationship to God is based on one thing, love.
It's why it must exist. And why when you say you can lose your salvation, you don't even get it. Maybe you need to get saved if you believe that. It's terrible. I'm not saying if you don't believe that, you're lost. I'm saying maybe you are. Listen, church, we have the riches of our Father. A servant got nothing. We have the riches of our Father. In church, we have a wonderful future provided by our Father. Amen. What a wonderful inheritance. And that belongs to you. No matter what state you're in, if you've received Christ. Listen, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, we're not talking about that element of it. We're talking about the sonship that we have. And that the law can't give us that. Man, am I glad. How foolish it is to live your life trying to earn favor with God by works. It's childish nonsense. We should do it out of love. Out of love. Maybe today this will help you walk closer with the Lord. What a blessing it is to receive Christ as your Redeemer. And then all these things, they belong to you. Maybe you need to get saved today. Be a good day for it. Listen, brothers and sisters, the doctrinal conclusion in point 4 is clear. Under the law, we were no different than a servant. But being redeemed by Christ, we were adopted as God's sons. And as His sons, we received His Son's Spirit, becoming God's very heirs. That's it. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Musicians, just stay in your places today.